This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
I'm not sure that word really does justice to what the Yankees did to the Toronto Blue Jays this week. They weren't savages. They were just beasts all week long, scoring 43 runs in a three-game series and hitting 19 home runs. Wow. 10-7 the final score on Thursday night as they sweep the Blue Jays and win their eighth consecutive game. And it's all coming together. It's amazing what baseball is and how quickly everything can get turned around. And a week ago, after you had gotten a nice win against the Blue Jays, you were hoping to be able to put something together, and they have done that and then some. Thursday night, the third consecutive game in which the Yankees hit six home runs, and five of them came in one inning. That was the fourth inning. Brett Gardner, DJ LeMahieu, Luke Voit, Giancarlo Stanton, Gleyber Torres all homered in that fourth inning. They went back to back to back at one point. Gary Sanchez added a home run later on. We'll talk about whether or not he is starting to snap out of it, because some of the indications would suggest that he might be. But more importantly, there is a confidence level to this Yankee team now that, frankly, we have not seen for some time. And you saw the 20-game stretch that had them looking like somebody else. And a lot of it had to do with not having your entire team on the field, sure. But a lot of it had to do with expecting the other shoe to drop. And as the manager clearly sees, that is not the case right now.
The guys are playing with a lot of confidence. We've been getting outstanding starting pitching, and the offense is really kind of feeding off each other now. And they're walking in now when we get to the ballpark every day, and they're expecting that we're going to go out and win a ball game. And that's a good place to be.
Yeah, to say the least. And that's a big deal. That's an awfully big deal to be able to walk into the ballpark and expect to win. That was somewhere the Yankees had not been in a long time. And boy, is it translating right now. And look, we can launch all the superlatives you want, and I don't know that they'll cover what's going on over this eight-game stretch. Starting pitching, let's discuss that for a second. You have gotten a great run with 51 innings over those eight games and an ERA of 2.13. from your starting rotation. But most importantly, five of those eight games, you have gotten seven inning performances. Five of those eight, seven innings from your starter. The Yankees are at an extreme advantage in the American League playoffs if that were to continue. Not necessarily even at that level, but here's why. We told you about the other day how all of the playoff formats were set up by Major League Baseball. And in the division series and the league championship series, there are going to be no days off. So all of a sudden, where normally in those series you would have a better chance to set up your pitching staff, now you have absolutely no chance to do that. You have to be able to rely on your five starters, and it definitively takes away the effectiveness of going the route of the opener. And to me, that's funny. And here's why. Major League Baseball has been working the last few years to really de-emphasize the role of the starting pitcher. Why is that? Simply salaries. When analytics have confirmed that you can go and have an effective game by going with an opener and an entire bullpen as opposed to maybe a fourth or fifth starter, and you're not paying that fourth or fifth starter, let's say, $10 million a year, it saves ball clubs a ton of money. But here the Yankees are in a situation where they've been able to get an awful lot from Davey Garcia. They've been able to get a contribution from Jordan Montgomery. Gerrit Cole is now Gerrit Cole, the guy they expected to sign. Masahiro Tanaka has done a terrific job. And even on Thursday night, by going seven innings and giving up three runs, He didn't walk anybody. He struck out five, and he got better as the game went along. And then lastly, Jay Happ has done a really nice job. All of this together has really put the Yankees in a spot that maybe 10 days ago they wouldn't have been in. And it wasn't even just about them being able to turn things around. Baseball, with these rules, really helped out the New York Yankees. I think that's hysterical. If I were the Rays, I certainly wouldn't be happy about it. Now, they have some very good starting pitching, but you know how they like to go to the opener if that's available to them. They won't be able to do that easily in the postseason unless every starter has given them at least seven innings, because you need everybody in that bullpen. That brings me to point number two about the bullpen moving forward. For Aaron Boone here over the next week and a half, it is going to become more about not who can you trust. It's really who else can you trust. We know who the high leverage guys are. But when you have a performance from, oh, let's say, a Jonathan Holder, like you had on Thursday night, it was not good. He got lit up in that ninth inning and actually put the Yankees in a situation where the tying run came to the plate. Well, Holder's a guy that's kind of on that periphery. And the Yankees are going to be not just relying on their four guys in the circle of trust. They're going to be relying on a few others outside of that. So who is going to be able to position themselves and pitch well enough to get into that spot? Who else is it going to be? Is it going to be Sessa? Is it going to be, I don't know, Clark Schmidt? Are you going to try to find a role for him there to be able to help the team this year? Loizaga is back now. So over the next week and a half, Aaron Boone's going to have to ride the hot hand a little bit out of the bullpen to figure out who those others are. You want to have two others, ideally, considering now you will not have those off days. Okay, let's roll back to that fourth inning where it just got completely out of hand. 2-2 game, and you blink, and the Yankees have got seven runs on the board by virtue of those five home runs.
That was a lot of fun. I mean, to see the guys, obviously a tie game going into that inning, and then, you know, everyone just started unloading with just really good at-bats. You know, Frazier starts that inning off, I think, with a walk, and then Gary smokes a ball, and then Gardy in the seats, and here we go. And just it really good to see everyone contributing.
I have never once really seen great offense carry over to other players. In other words, when guys are on a roll, do they continue to influence everybody else in the lineup? You know, I was talking about this with starting pitching the other day. Every guy wants to be the guy to not screw it up. Even Giancarlo Stanton kind of admitted in his at-bat in that inning, he didn't want to screw it up. He wanted to go out there and homer. But I don't know that you can count on the offense being able to feed off of one another like starting pitching can, because it's just such a different animal and it's so much more difficult. It really is in so many ways to have that amount of players all going well at the same time like the Yankees have pretty much had the last few days. You can't expect that to continue, and you can't expect it to, you know, somehow be contagious up and down the lineup. But is it being contagious right now to Gary Sanchez? Well, Jack Curry and Bob Lorenz on the postgame, along with Buck Showalter on Yes, were making the point that looking at a lot of Gary Sanchez's outs lately, they have been some hard hit balls. He's hit a couple of home runs. Buck made the point that his swing has slowed down. Everything is not as active in the box. And that was something that Mark Teixeira had spoken of earlier in the day with Michael Kay, that he moves around a lot in that box with his swing. Legs, arms, they're all over the place. It's not a quiet swing. And for Sanchez, if he is starting to snap out of it, if that's what the Yankees believe they are seeing, that's fantastic. He's not going to catch Gerrit Cole moving forward. We told you about that in advance, and it has pretty clearly come to fruition at this point. But if he does get it going offensively, it's going to go a massively long way. And I get that that's an obvious statement to make, but it really is going to make the difference between the Yankees potentially dominating through the postseason or just hoping to contend and get to the World Series. They're an excellent team. They are on the level with pretty much everybody else, with the exception of maybe the Dodgers being a little bit more of a complete team right now. But if you have Sanchez hitting, that's something else. Now, this is going to sound crazy, right? Doesn't matter. I'm going to say it anyway. I still think this is his last year in pinstripes. Because if you're the Yankees and you get Gary Sanchez going in the postseason and down the stretch of this regular season, wouldn't you think even more about trading him away in the offseason? Why? Well, because you have seen the incredible lows that he finds himself in. And the value right now in terms of trading him, considering how much he's struggled, probably not what you want it to be if you're even going to consider it. So if Gary Sanchez gets better offensively later in the year, gets hot, goes into the postseason, does some damage for the Yankees, I think you have to capitalize on that moment going into next year. And I know there are Yankee fans that love Sanchez, but you can't afford to get back in those 2 to 3 month slumps again. You just can't ride. It's not even a roller coaster, because roller coasters actually go up every once in a while. If you get lucky, you have to maximize the return on him in the offseason. I don't care what the evaluation has been of him over the years. It doesn't matter. You know what he can be, but at some point you have to start looking more at what he actually is. And that's an incredibly streaky player. Now, maybe we're putting the cart before the horse here. We actually need to see him snap out of it and get more hits and hit more home runs and be more of a factor so you can actually consider him a threat in the lineup. Okay, a couple of other things we're looking at right now. Yankees are still in the number 5 spot in the seeding. They are firmly in second place in the American League East, and they find themselves even in the loss column with the Minnesota Twins. The Twins have 2 more wins than the Yankees do. The Twins are going to play 8 games. They have 3 at Chicago, 2 against Detroit, and 3 against Cincinnati. And the Twins being that number 4 seed right now, who the Yankees want to catch, they dropped 3 out of 4 against the White Sox this week. If you were curious, they are still 3 games in the loss column behind the Rays, and they will play the same number of games as the Rays. Both teams are going to get to 60. So the loss column, really all that matters now between the Yankees and the Rays. Keep that in mind over the next week. Unlikely they're going to catch them. It would take a Rays collapse over the next week. Now it's off to Boston. Red Sox are awful. They've dropped 3 out of 4 themselves. They're 19-32 on the year. Jordan Montgomery will open it up tonight against Martin Perez. Then it's Jay Happ on Saturday and Davey Garcia on Sunday. You just hope that everything keeps rolling right now, because there's not a whole lot to be concerned about after the Yankees have righted the ship since last week. All right, that's me, Carlin. I'm done. I'm out. See you later. We'll talk next week. Oh, Carlin out, I guess, officially is how we put it, right? I guess.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.